Welcome to the Wedlake Bell Legal Podcast, covering a range of legal topics including updates from our four practice groups: private client, real estate, business services, and dispute resolution.
Hello and welcome to the Wedlake Bell Legal Podcast, Episode 6, Employing EU Nationals. I'm Julia Jackson and I'm a partner and head of the Immigration Department at Wedlake Bell.
Hi, and my name is Matt Perry and I'm an associate in the employment team at Wedlake Bell. It goes without saying that the concept of Brexit has caused a lot of uncertainty over the past few years as to what the UK's withdrawal from the EU will look like and how this relationship will be managed going forward. This has had a significant impact upon employers who have been unable to prepare for Brexit in an informed fashion. The future relationship of the UK with the EU in the long term remains uncertain. However, the recent endorsement by the leaders of the EU as to the proposed terms of the UK's exit makes it clear that the withdrawal of the UK is beginning to take shape, subject to Theresa May getting final approval from Parliament. As such, it now seems that employers can start to more meaningfully assess what the withdrawal process may look like and the implications for them. Of course, employers are concerned about the extent to which their existing EU employees will be able to remain in the UK and their ability to recruit European citizens in the future, so that will be our focus for today. So Julia, do EU nationals already living here need to do anything now to protect their status?
No, I think it's fair to say many EU nationals who are already working in the UK have found the last couple of years very unsettling. But their existing freedom of movement rights are unchanged by Article 50 being exercised and regardless of the current state of negotiations. So any existing EU nationals living and working in the UK don't need to take any action at this stage. Having said that, they can apply for a registration certificate if they wish to do so. And this is just a document that confirms that they are an EU national exercising a treaty right in the UK. Alternatively, if they've been living and working here for a continuous period of 5 years, they can apply for permanent residence. I know a lot of EU nationals have been put off applying for permanent residence because they've heard that it's a very long form or that they have to send off their passports for a long time, up to 6 months, but that just isn't the case anymore. There is an online version of the application form that normally runs to no more than 6 or 7 pages in large type. And if you have an ID card, that can be sent off. Or alternatively, EU nationals can use the checking service, which is run by a lot of local authorities, which will check their passport, return it to them immediately, and the form just goes off with a photocopy of the passport. I wouldn't normally bother recommending a registration certificate for someone who hasn't been here for 5 years, but I do think the permanent residence document for those who've been living here for longer than 5 years is worth going for.
So are you saying that EU nationals already working here won't be affected by Brexit though?
Almost. There are a couple of points to think about. First of all, even someone with a permanent residence document, if they move overseas for a long period, might find that they've lost their right to return to the UK. So thinking about secondments or long-term assignments will require some careful planning. And there's also something coming up called the Settled Status Scheme, but we'll get back to that a bit later on.
So what about recruiting EU nationals now going forward? Has the position changed for employers?
No, there's no change at all. Before the Brexit date, EU nationals are still free to come and live and work in the UK. After the Brexit date, well, we've got the draft withdrawal agreement at the moment, and that includes a transition period. The EU always refers to it as an implementation period. It's exactly the same thing, it's political semantics. But during that transition period, EU nationals continue to have the same freedom of movement rights to come and live and work in the UK without needing any prior approval or sponsorship.
Okay, and when does this implementation period end?
It's due to end on the 31st of December 2020 at 11 o'clock UK time.
Okay, and is there any ability that this could be extended? Or?
It has been mentioned in recent weeks that it might be extended, but I think if it is, it's likely only to be a few months whilst the Irish border situation is resolved.
And do EU nationals coming to work in the UK during the implementation period need to get permission to work?
No, absolutely nothing at all to come to the UK and to start work. But the UK is rolling out their part of the draft withdrawal agreement, which is called the Settled Status Scheme.
Okay, and as an individual, what would that mean, the Settled Status Scheme?
So EU nationals who are in the UK or moved to the UK during the implementation period need to apply to the Settled Status Scheme. It's actually a new process for us. It's possible to download an app onto your phone. There are a few questions, mostly about name, nationality, date of birth, home address, any criminal convictions. As part of the application process, the EU national provides their national insurance number, and then they can actually use their phone to read the security chip in the passport, take a selfie, and send it all off to the Home Office. The Home Office will then check revenue records to see whether the individual has been paying national insurance and tax. It's not to check that the tax and national insurance are up to date, just as a proof of living here. And then the aim is to get out an approval within a matter of weeks.
So that sounds relatively straightforward. Do you anticipate there being any problems with this?
A couple of problems. First of all, it only works on Android phones. Apple phones won't read the biometric chip in a passport. But those with Apple phones, which is probably the majority, can do all of the process and save it on their Apple phone and then just borrow an Android phone for a short time to read the biometric chip in the passport, or alternatively, they can post off their passport to the Home Office, although I don't recommend that generally. There is a fee to pay as well, and that's £65 for adults and half price for children.
So you mentioned that the decision will probably take a couple of weeks. What status will these individuals get?
So once the settled status application is completed, if the individual has, at the time that they applied, been living in the UK for a continuous period of 5 years, they will get the status called settled status. And what that is a right to live and work in the UK indefinitely, regardless of what happens on any EU negotiations, Brexit or withdrawal. The EU national can apply for naturalisation in the UK a year after getting settled status if they want to do so, but they'll have to decide whether that's right for them, depending on whether or not their home country allows dual nationality. The status can also be lost if they move overseas for a long period of time, but actually we are talking about a long period of time, basically 5 years without coming back at all. One nice thing about the status is that any children born in the UK after it's been granted will automatically be British citizens, regardless of the nationality of the parents.
So that deals with people who have lived here for more than 5 years. What about the situation for those people who haven't?
Yeah, the application process is exactly the same, but the status then is called pre-settled status. It won't be indefinite, it will last for a period of 5 years, and then once the individual's been living here for a continuous period of 5 years, they apply again with the intention of getting settled status. Rather nicely, there isn't a second application fee payable. Once you've paid once for the first application, you don't pay again. And it's not necessary to wait until the end of the five-year approval period. If you get to your 5 years before the end, because you spent time here before applying for the first application, then you can apply immediately.
Okay, and is there a deadline for making those applications?
The deadline is set as 30th of June 2021, so that's 6 months after the end of the transition period.
So, sorry, does somebody who has permanent residence still need to apply for settled status?
Yeah, that's a very important point, Matt. Even if somebody's already got an EU permanent residence document, they're still going to have to apply for settled status under the new scheme. The fee is waived, but the application must be made. The only exception to people who don't need to apply from the EU is Irish nationals. The right for Irish nationals to live and work in the UK is completely separate to the European Union freedom of movement right. So Irish nationals can continue to live and work in the UK. They can apply for a settled status document if they want to, but there's certainly no obligation to do so.
And is there anything that you would say employers need to be thinking about?
I think one of the most important considerations that employers will have to have in mind is that the pre-settled status, the one that's valid for a period of 5 years, isn't envisaged to be extendable. So if at the end of that five-year period, the EU national hasn't got the 5 years continuous living in the UK needed, then at that point they're either going to have to leave the UK or apply again as a third country national on whatever immigration rules are in play at that time. So if you've got an EU national working for you on pre-settled status, again, thinking about overseas assignments or secondments is going to be really critical to their future employment in the UK. There are some permitted breaks allowed, but generally if they're spending more than 6 months a year outside the UK, then that's likely to be a problem.
Ken, are there any other immigration rules you think that employers would need to be thinking about too?
Well, now there we're in the dark. We are waiting for the government to publish the white paper, which will set out the post-Brexit immigration policy. It was originally due in summer of 2017, but it's been pushed back now a number of times. The Home Secretary said at the end of November, just a few days ago, that he is hoping to publish it now before the end of December 2018. We're just going to have to wait and see what's in there. But what that white paper is likely to be modelled on is the Migration Advisory Committee, or MAC for short, on their report on post-Brexit immigration. And they made a number of recommendations that I think the government are likely to accept. First and foremost, they said that EU nationals shouldn't be treated any differently from nationals of any other country. So we can expect French citizens and German citizens to be treated the same way as American and Canadian citizens in the future.
And is it clear what will happen if there's no deal?
No, it's very far from clear. The settled status scheme is already on the statute book, and in fact, beta testing has already begun. I don't think it's likely to change, and in fact, the government has said that they're happy with that settled status scheme for the 3.6 million EU nationals who are already living in the UK. But when the freedom of movement will come to an end isn't particularly clear. For my money, I think it's unlikely to end on the Brexit date in March 2019, simply because we're not prepared for that. So I think what we might find is that there's a transition or implementation period, even if it's only in relation to immigration.
And what do you think that employers need to be doing in the meantime?
I think for their EU national employees, some reassurance and education might be useful. If their employees are anxious, then either providing explanations or signposting as to the next steps would be useful. I'd also, if I was an employer, be thinking about obtaining a sponsor license, assuming that the post-Brexit immigration policy is going to be modelled on the current tier two of the points-based system. We could find quite a rush to get a sponsor license in place. So for employers who don't already have one, I'd be thinking about that now. Apparently only around 30,000 employers in the UK have a sponsor license at the moment. If all employers are going to need one, then we are looking at considerably slowed processing times. That's all we have time for today. Thank you very much for listening. But if you want any further information, then please feel free to contact me. I'm Julia Jackson, and my colleague, Matt Perry. We can be contacted via the website. Thank you.
You just listened to the Wedlake Bell Legal Podcast. If you liked our episode and want to know more, then check out our website, www.wedlakebell.com. Wedlake Bell. Building relationships is at the heart of everything we do.